Since moving down to the farm nearly 7 years ago now, if there's one thing that's really stood out, it's the constant battle to keep the animals fit and healthy in a world that is ruled by Satan. There are so many different bugs and diseases, all chewing away at what God created and called good. One particular nasty are the parasites known as worms. There are many different forms of these, and they have slightly different ways of operating. But in general, they all feed off the host while disrupting their host's nutrient absorption processes, causing weakness and disease, which if left unchecked can lead to the death of the host. However, there is a much more dangerous worm that is a threat to all of us. It can be picked up any time, day or night, but is a lot more aggressive at this time of the year. I am, of course, referring to what has now become known as the earworm. An earworm, otherwise known as involuntary musical imagery. Everything needs a posh name nowadays. It's a sound, usually musical, that sticks in your mind and you can hear it, usually over and over again, without it actually being played. Sometimes they get so strong that before long, you'll find yourself singing or humming along with it, without even knowing that that is what you're doing. Like the parasitic worm, the earworm can disrupt our spiritual nutrient absorption by filling our mind with thoughts that are ungodly, which could too lead to us feeling spiritually weakened. I have 3 points I'd like to briefly cover to show the differences between how God and Satan use our ears to teach us their way, and also how to counter this one of Satan's most subtle attacks. I'd like you to turn, please, first, the first point, how Satan attacks us through our ears. If you'll turn, please, to a very well-known scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5. And in verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Now, over the years, we've heard that scripture many, many times. But what I'd like to focus on particularly are just two separate words within that passage. Firstly, roaring. If you've ever seen a lion in a zoo, the type that just walks up and down repeatedly, his eyes having glazed over, this is not what it's referring to. A roaring lion is a male, and a male lion doesn't hunt for food. They hunt for dominance. The alpha male in a pride of lions will walk amongst his pride and subdue any that dare to oppose him. He would also, from time to time, go a bit further afield to assert his dominance in the region. It's a very active thing. Secondly, I'd like to just look at the word seeking. In this particular scripture, it's Strong's number 2212. It's A-T-O. To plot, to desire, to endeavour. Yet again, a very active word. Satan is actively seeking, not just wandering around aimlessly and occasionally biting someone he might bump into, but actively seeking, hunting down, if you like. Just as the dominant lion will hunt down any suspected threats to his supremacy, so too is Satan actively looking to find ways to destroy anyone that challenges his throne. Satan knows that if we were to pick something up, and it was covered with Christmas messages, for example, we would simply put it back down without really reading it. Or if we were to hear something directly that we knew to be false, we would just walk away. Or if the opportunity was right, we would use the word of God to counter it. The words would never really enter our mind and can't really do any damage. By using methods like the earworm, he can bypass our conscious mind, which would have filtered out the words or the image, and instead, by using a catchy tune, store in our minds words that we will remember, even if we didn't want to. Personally, I was born in the church. I've never kept Christmas. As a child, I was taken out of carol practices, etc. Yet sadly, I still recognise far too many Christmas carols and seasonal pop music. simply from having heard them repeatedly throughout the years as they've been broadcast over the TV and radio. This highlights the key difference between hearing and listening. We are hearing things all the time, even if we're not listening to them. And everything we hear is being stored and can be recalled at a later stage if the right triggers are received. This is something that the advertisers understand, and the reason the ad jingle was created. A good example of this is the Intel Bongs, as they are officially known. Four notes that have become the most recognized sound in the world, having been played over a billion times around the globe over the last 20 years. It knocked the first bar of Beethoven's Fifth off the number one spot this last year. I'm sure we can all think of highly annoying jingles used for adverts. These don't happen by accident. The ad agencies spend a significant amount of time and money ensuring that their few seconds of airtime are used to the maximum to be as memorable as possible. The goal of an earworm is to get into your subconscious by hearing rather than by listening. So although Satan is very active in what he is doing, he uses a passive, covert technique to get his thoughts into our minds. The second point, to contrast this now with how God teaches us through our ears. Mr. Armstrong was inspired to set the format for the church services as it is to this day in this group. We listen, we read, we sing. When messages are given, we listen intently to the message. It is not played as some subliminal message that bypasses our conscious mind and lodges deep in our subconscious. We are encouraged to read the scriptures along with the speaker so that the input can come through both the ear and the eye. We are encouraged to take notes for the same reason. We are taught through listening, which is more than just hearing. It's more active than just hearing. Throughout the Bible, the expression give ear or hearken appear 144 times and essentially mean the same thing. The word we pronounce as hearken is made up of two parts, to hear and ken. To hear and understand, to comprehend. It's far more than merely hearing. When God teaches, there is always an action required. This can be best demonstrated in Deuteronomy 28, if you will turn there with me, please. Deuteronomy 28, and in the first verse. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Eternal thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. There is nothing hidden here. No covert, subtle, underhand tricks or grey areas. God is not the God of loopholes. God does not try to surreptitiously put his thoughts into our minds. If you just drop down to verse 15, God then counters it and says, but it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Eternal thy God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. I'll say there's nothing hidden in this. God makes it very clear, this way or that way. God gives us his word in a variety of different forms, and we are to read it, to listen to it, to study it, to meditate on it, and then to live by it. We have to actively learn God's word, and he then, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the understanding to comprehend what we are being taught. So the key difference between the two, Satan will, as he has done since he rebelled, use subtle, passive, covert techniques to try and fill our minds with his thoughts. God gives us his word and then the Holy Spirit to be able to understand it. If we then actively study and live our lives by it, then our minds will become filled with God's thoughts. So how to counter Satan's earworm attack? Just as Mr. Armstrong explained many times, that the only way to get air out of a bottle was to put something else in. The only way known of getting rid of an earworm is to replace it with something else. A sort of fight fire with fire strategy. As this is a sermonette, I'm only allowed 3 scriptures, so I thought my next one would be a big one. If we could turn to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. And we'll just briefly read verse number 97. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Just skip down to verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Having just read these 2 verses, I'm sure most of us subconsciously carry on singing the rest of the passage. This is a positive example of how to use music to remember scripture and can be effectively used in combating the effects of the earworm. If you just glance back up again at verse 105, that's Psalm 119, verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into my path. It's a psalm that Mr. Bowles has put to music and has been sung as special music and is my personal favourite anti-earworm dose. Most of the hymns that we get the opportunity to sing each week and the special music that we enjoy, especially at the feast, come from the Psalms. God inspired the Psalms to be written down and preserved in the Bible for us to read for a reason. They form part of the written word of God, which is that lamp unto our feet. They are easy to remember. They include everything from creation to end time prophecy. And they are quite simply our best defense against Satan's subtle earworm attack.